Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful day you have given us. We thank you for every answer to prayer. We thank you for every promise and every prophecy that comes true in your name. And Lord, we just want to give this day to you, this message to you, and have you open our hearts and minds to receive it in power, in love, in hope. And thank you, Father, for this beautiful country that we live in, Father God. May we be forever grateful that you are our Father and that you have prepared a place for us. We give you all the praise and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Another one of those crazy titles, huh? Married or not, the time is short. All right? Married or not, the time is short. John MacArthur wrote, he said, the married person's interests are divided between the earthly and the heavenly. And so it should be. It's not that the married believer has divided spiritual loyalties or that the unmarried is more spiritually faithful. Many married believers are holy in the sense of being highly devoted to the Lord. And many single believers are divided in their spiritual interest. Married Christians should not feel guilty about being married, and unmarried Christians should not feel guilty about getting married. Marriage does not prevent great devotion to the Lord, and singleness does not guarantee it. But singleness has fewer hindrances, that's what Paul's saying, and more advantages. It is easier for a single person to be single-minded in the things of the Lord. The married Christian has no choice. He cannot be faithful to the Lord if he's unfaithful to his family. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Amen. So John MacArthur summed it all up, but I'm gonna break it all down for you guys, okay? So 2 weeks ago, we heard a message about how we should be spiritually as a married couple. And, you know, and how we should honor that marriage vow by honoring God and ourselves. Amen? And we talked about how if we're unequally yoked in a marriage and the unbelieving party chooses to stay, that we should honor that marriage. Amen? And be the greatest witness for Christ for them. Paul would even end the text by saying, how do you know your husband? How do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife or vice versa? Amen? But Paul also mentioned briefly about the unmarried, stating that it was good for them to stay unmarried as he was. It was good for him in his life. Amen? Which is the perfect lead into today's message. Remembering that God can use us right where you're at. Amen? God can use you right where you're at. Whatever your status is, married or single, God can use you. Amen? 1 Corinthians 7:25, first verse says, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Now in today's modern language, we all know that virgin means someone who's never had intercourse. Amen? But in Paul's day, this was to mean people that were both male and female that were not married. Amen? Because, of course, there was supposed to be a virgin at that point. Amen? And he goes on to say that he has no command from the Lord, but he gives judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. That just means that, you know, one single word or statement from the Lord is not going to be enough to answer all the questions that they had for him. Okay? So he's going to be speaking from his own experience and his own knowledge. And he says that they need to trust him because what he's going to say is going to be good in the eyes of God. Amen? And that's what matters, right? That what he's saying is going to be good in the eyes of God. Paul was saying there are going to be many right answers to your guys' questions, depending on the situation or the application. We all have different walks in life. Amen? And so he's going to try to answer them all. Remember, they had asked Paul if it was good for that people to get married. And to Paul, there was no simple answer to that question. Because to him, in his life, it was better for him to be single. Amen? But what he was promising them is that whatever answer he gave them, it would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it would be inspired by the Word of God. Amen? Amen? That's the point he's trying to make. Matthew Henry wrote of this text, he said, "It is not the mere opinion of a private man, but the very determination of the Spirit of God in an apostle, though it be thus spoken. And it was thus delivered to give it the more weight." Amen? It's not just an apostle speaking, it's God speaking through this apostle. Okay? Now, remembering that his word is trustworthy and that it's inspired by God, he's going to go on to say to these Corinthians, he says in verse 26, "Because of the present crisis that they're in," he said, "I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this." It's a lot of verses today, amen? But it's I got to keep it in context, okay? So we're going to go through all of them, all right? Paul is saying, not only is it good to remain as you are, but to respect the fact that God can use you as you are as well, amen? And that's what he's trying to tell them. He said, Paul was speaking to those that were single and never married at this point, okay? He said, it's better just to remain just as you are, whether you're single or married, respecting it as God's will in your life today. Amen? It's God's will for you today while serving him well, okay? Continue to serve God well despite your status as married or not. He said, if you're pledged to a woman, don't seek to be released. If you're already married, don't seek to be released. And if you're single, then don't go looking for a wife, he's telling them, because of the situation they were in. Amen? What he meant was don't be so quick to change, even if you think it's for the good of the gospel. Don't be so quick to change. You don't have to change, he's saying. He can use you right where you're at. Amen? And then, of course, he also meant the 10th commandment. He's talking about not coveting what other people have. Don't be jealous of another person because you're single and they're married. God's got a woman or a spouse for you in this world, amen? And you just got to wait. In God's time, you will get that if that's what God has for you, amen? So don't covet what other people have. He said, many that were married would wish they were single, and many that were single wish they were married. And I think that still holds true today, right, for a lot of people, right? There are a lot of single people that wish they were married. We know that, right? A lot of single people that wish they were married, and even a few married people who wish they were single. My hands are way down here, okay? Wish they were single. Way down here, all right? Paul's saying, don't be so quick to change where you're at, what your status is in life today. He's saying there are good points in each position, whether you're single or married. God can use you, and you can be a powerful warrior for God. Amen? So we must also remember, though, he said, because of your present crisis, okay? The Corinthian church at this time, it wasn't in a good place, okay? In fact, they were being persecuted all the time, and they had many economic hardships as well. They were struggling in every sense, amen? And other than their faith, okay? And well, and that too, I guess. And because of this crisis, there would be advantages and disadvantages, okay, to being married or to being single. It was a different time, though, okay? A different time and a different place. So that's what Paul's referring to here. Some examples are, back then, if you were single, how much more of a burden could a family be in standing strong for the Lord through all this persecution? And I'll give you an example. You could be super way strong, right? Saying things like, torture me all you want. I am not going to rescind my faith in Christ, right? But then again, if they came to torture your wife or your kids, then what are you going to say, right? Are you going to rescind your faith to save your family? I would think so. Most people would, right? But if you're married, you know, that's the difference, okay? He's saying if you're single, then it's all about you. If you're married, you know, you got your family. So there'll be spiritual advantages to being single. But what advantage would there be to being spiritual for someone with a family? What spiritual advantages are there for someone with a family? Well, standing up for your family, right? Advantage or not, you've got to stand up for your family, right? You got to stand up because that's what God wants. That's what's going to be good in the eyes of God, right? So you got to stand up for your, if you're married, you got to stand up for your family. And don't be so quick to think that the grass is greener on the other side. Right? Just live in what God has for you today. God can and He will use you and your family right where you're at as He builds your testimony. We all have a testimony, amen? And we all have a witness as believers in Christ. Verse 28, he says, but if you do marry and you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you of this, right? It gets better here in a minute. Hold on. But Paul is not against marriage, okay? He's not saying that he's against marriage. He would not forbid something that God instituted. Amen? He's God's servant. Amen? He's God's messenger. He's not going to do that. He was just saying to be careful that you're doing the right thing in your life for your situation, for where you're at in your life today. Amen? Don't rush into things. Don't rush into things. Don't change things real quickly. But remember, if you do get married, it's a vow and it's a promise, right? What we say, until death do we part, right? Or until death do you part. Paul felt, okay, that at least for his life, it was a greater advantage for him to be single. He could devote everything he had to God, amen, day in and day out. The life that Paul had led to serve God would never have worked if he was married. Amen. He couldn't have done half the things he did if he had to go home to his wife every day. Amen. In fact, maybe that's why he no longer was married, because we think he was at some point. All right? Excuse me, I got to drink of water. Get a drink of water for this part. Just think about how worried, okay, Paul's wife would have been as he wrote her letters telling her about the shipwrecks and the jail time. Right? The torturing, the persecutions. She would have been a wreck all the time, right? Worried about her husband day in and day out. You see, deep down, Paul knew that whether you're married or single, neither position was necessarily more spiritual than the other, right? It was God's will that mattered. It's God's will for your life that matters. Now, there are some churches that think you need to be single to be spiritually enough to be a leader. Amen? You need to be single to be a leader in the church. But that's just man-made rules, okay, that were never instituted by God. Those are man-made rules. Amen? And I hope I don't offend anybody. I come from a Catholic background as well. Amen? But on the other hand, there are a lot of churches that frown upon leaders being single too. Right? They want their leaders to be married with the family. You know, the truth is, marriage is not a requirement for either one. It shouldn't be. Amen? But if we're going to counsel marriages and families, it'd probably be a good idea for us to have a little bit of experience as pastors. Amen. Right? It might help. Amen? You can't learn everything from a book. Okay? And the point is that God can use you wherever you are. God can use you wherever you are, and just make sure that you serve Him with everything you have. Amen. With everything you got. Give Him 100%, and God will give you 100%. Okay? Verse 29, he goes on, he says, for what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as though they do not. What? Uh-oh, here we go. From now on, those who have wives should live as though they do not. First off, Paul says the time is short, okay? Many critics, okay, over the ages have criticized him for saying that the time is short. Because obviously, the Lord still hasn't come back. Amen? Saying that he was predicting the return of the Savior. Okay? He wasn't. Okay? He was, of course he was at some point, but he's just repeating the words of the terminology of Jesus. Amen? The truth is, unlike Joseph Smith, Paul was not given a specific date. He wasn't saying the Lord's going to return on the 27th of March, whatever, right? 101 or whatever, right? So he's not giving a date. He's simply expressing the urgency of spreading the gospel, the good news, amen, before Jesus comes back or before you lose your life. Amen? Just the time is short. That's what he meant. You know, the time is short. And about how in turn that type of life, being a witness, can change your life today, right here, right now. Amen? Some say, you know, salvation starts today, right? Salvation starts today. Heaven starts today, right here, right now. And I say thank you, Jesus, because the devil's going to give you many reasons, okay, not to live that life. Many reasons to be a slave to sin, right? He's going to tell you, oh, because it's fun, right? You're still young, right? It's fun. You deserve it. You work hard, you deserve it, right? But remember, the devil's also the father of lies, right? He's the father of lies, amen? And he finishes verse 29 saying, from now on, here we go, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Don't take that literal, guys, okay? And don't make it your life verse either, okay? Or your wife might make it your end of life verse, okay? Right? He's not saying go to Vegas with the guys and come home whenever you want. You guys know the movie. Come on, man. All right. Paul was not saying to neglect your spousal or family duties, okay? He's just saying that even though you are married, you must be living as though the time is short. In other words, God comes first. God comes first in everything we do. Amen? And don't overdo it, he says, because yes, your family, okay, get this, your family can become an idol as well. You can put your family before God a little too much sometimes. Amen? God's got to come first. And in the situation they were in, he's reminding them, God must come first. Your salvation and your relationship with the church sometimes needs to come first. Amen? Don't make something other than God your idol, whatever it is in your life. Just because it's good, including your family, make time for God and do it as a family. Amen? Do it as a family. He was saying, even if you're married with children, the time is short. Amen. The time is short. Take your family to church. Amen. Amen? Verse 30, he says, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, and those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. This is all speaking to don't put anything before God. Amen? Belongings, your feelings, whatever. Don't put anything before God. Amen? He's saying that neither the good, the bad, or the riches of this world can get in the way of you following Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing can get in the way of that. Verse 31, he says, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. Amen? This is all going to be gone. Don't live your life for the things of this world because he says the world is passing away. Live your life for the eternal things. Amen? Verse 32, he says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. That's what he's concerned about. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. Right? And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can she please her husband? I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul's saying that the unmarried have the potential to serve and please God with fewer distractions. Right? Fewer distractions. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
All right. Just kidding. He also says in verse 32 that an unmarried man cares about the Lord's affairs. Amen? Potentially, okay? Potentially. That if you're a single person, you should have more time available to serve the Lord. Right? That's what we would think as believers, amen? But at the same time, how many single people are really devoting their lives to God? Right? How many are out there devoting their lives to God, living to please God? Or how many are out there sowing their wild oats, right? Until they meet the right woman, right? And then once they meet the right woman and settle down, then they'll start serving God, right? That's how it usually works, right? But that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying that if you're single, then that should give you more time to devote to God, right? To devote to God. Not to say that a person can't have any fun during your single life, okay? All right? Hopefully you live through it. Thank God I lived through it, right? But what he is saying is that you'll have more time to do whatever it is you want to do. And hopefully part of that is serving God. Amen? Serving God. And if serving God is what you want to do as a single man, guess what? The sky's the limit. You got all day and all night of your waking time, okay, to serve God. Now, it's probably why Paul was single at this point, or maybe his wife left him, right? Because as we know, he would sacrifice everything, including his life, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything. Paul was not saying it's a bad thing, just a different way of life. Because if you're married, you should not live as though you're not married. You should not live as though you're not married. God expects us to live a certain way, okay? Pleasing and respecting our spouses in everything we do. Right? We should be respecting them. Paul's reason was to put marriage into an eternal perspective. All right? Kingdomized, right? We call that kingdomized, right? Having kingdomized for everything, including your marriage, okay? He said in verse 35, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul is saying, I'm not judging you. I'm just sharing from my own experience and my own objective. This is what I know. I want to give you, and my words are inspired by God. Amen? You see, for Paul, the important thing in his life was not romantic love with his wife. Okay? At this point, it was pleasing God, serving God. He says, now the reason I say this is because there are many people in the world, okay, who can take a good thing like romantic love with your wife and make it an idol over God. That's what he's trying to say. Amen? Don't make anything an idol over God. And so for Paul, pleasing God was number one. It should be for all of us. Amen? Pleasing God was number one, so as to have no other idols before him. And he was doing a great job of serving God, right? As a single person, okay? But you know, there are many of us who please God and serve him as married couples too, right? Some of us couldn't do it if we weren't a married couple. Amen? Couldn't do the things we do if we didn't have our wives or our husbands alongside of us. Amen? And if you're a pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or even a leader in the church. Amen? And here in verse 35, Paul also says, he didn't say this to restrict anyone one way or the other. Amen? Put God first. But apparently, the Roman Catholic Church isn't reading the same Bible we are, okay, when it comes to what he was saying. They're just not paying, either that or they're just not paying attention, okay? They're either not reading it, the same Bible, maybe they made their own, I think they did. Because most of the Roman Catholic churches actually require celibacy of their clergy. Amen? They require it, okay? And it is unbiblical and not a good idea, apparently, considering the scandals within that church. Amen? And Paul's shouting that he's not trying to restrict anybody from marriage, because marriage and romantic love are a gift from God. Right? Nobody, even the church, shouldn't be restricting that from you. That is a gift from God. But the Roman Catholics still seem to think it's a good idea. Right? A good idea, calling it, this is what they call it. I was amazed when I read this, okay? They call it a special dedication to the kingdom of God following the examples of Jesus and Paul. You guys hear that? They're following the examples of Jesus and Paul, who had no spouses, who were celibate for the Lord, for God. Amen? They're following that example. That's their dedication. You can't make this stuff up. Amen? That's the real story. That's a true story right there. Revelation 22, though, says that we should not add or take away from God's word. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're adding to God's word. Amen? But I digress. Okay. Move on. At the end of verse 35, he says that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. For Paul, being unmarried meant that he was undivided in his service to God. That was number one for him. Undivided in his service to God. But for most people, the opposite is true, okay? Being single can be a huge distraction in serving God. Okay? It can be a huge distraction. The very thing that God gave us to lessen the temptation has become a huge temptation in itself. Right? It's a gift from God, but if we don't have it, what are you going to do? Right? What are you doing with it? Amen? Or for it? Either way, you should regard your unmarried life as an opportunity to please God, okay? While you wait to find the right person. Serve God while you wait. Amen? And keep an eye out, because God's got the right one for you. Amen? I truly believe God has picked the right one for everyone. And if you serve Him well at the right time, it will happen. Amen. It will happen. You will be blessed. Amen? Verse 36, he says, if anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably towards the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. And I added now. Should get married now. Paul was saying, keep it honorable, okay, both to the woman and to God, and, you know, make it a shotgun wedding if you can't wait. Right? Most of their weddings were arranged back then. Amen? There were arranged weddings, okay? And the parents would arrange the weddings. And I'm sure the honorable thing was expected of them, right? The honorable thing was expected. Verse 37, he says, but the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. And so then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. Paul would recommend being single because it had its benefits, okay? It had its benefits, especially when serving God. He was saying, if you can talk your son or your daughter out of wanting to get married, then congratulations. They can follow my lead, amen? But don't force it on them. Give them the option. Don't force marriage on people, right? Don't force celibacy on people. Amen? Give them the option. When Paul talks about being single or married, we know Paul preferred to be single, okay? He preferred to be single, but he never said if one was actually better than the other, right? He didn't say being single was better or being married was better, only that we could serve God either way, right? We can serve God and put Him first, whether we're married or single. Either way. For him, being single worked. But he knew that for many married people, it not only worked, but it was necessary. Okay? It was necessary for their sanity and the urges or passions in their life. They had to be married. Right? It's okay, he said. Get married. If you got an issue and passions in your life, get married. Amen? Marry the right person. Hopefully it's the one God has for you. Amen? He goes on, verse 39, says, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Last two verses, okay? But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Paul answered all the questions in today's text. Amen? He answered every question they wanted regarding the unmarried, given his opinion or personal choice. But at the same time, he stated that to each his own when it comes to marriage. To each his own. You want to be married, get married and serve God. You want to be single, stay single and serve God. Amen? He stated to each his own. But because he knows some are going to choose to be single, right? Some maybe didn't choose it, but some are going to choose to be single, and some are going to choose to marry. But either way, it can be a blessing from God. Either way, amen? It can be a blessing from God when we serve Him and when we honor our spouses. We honor our families. We honor ourselves. Amen. And then here's the last question or the last answer for Paul regarding marriage. The question was posed that what if the husband or the wife dies, then what? Amen? What if they die? Paul says, go ahead and marry anyone you wish as a widow, but they must belong to the Lord. They must belong to the Lord. That means, once again, don't marry unequally yoked. Amen? Bad idea is what he's saying, right? But he also said that he believes a widow would probably be happier and better off if she just remained a widow, which is kind of the traditional way, right, that things happen in the past. Paul was saying that the widow shouldn't marry without considering that God might be calling her to stay single. God may be calling her to stay celibate. Amen? Consider it. Pray about it. And so Paul's reminding them of the value of celibacy if we're so called to it by the Lord. Amen? Some of us are called to it. And that was not to say that sexual relations and marriage are evil, okay? That's not what he's saying. Like some of the Corinthians were thinking, right? Oh, even as married couple, right? We're gonna refrain from sex so that we don't get in trouble, right? Paul said that the celibate state could possibly offer a person more opportunities to serve God. That's all he was saying, if they were so gifted with it. All right? And I think the same thing still holds true today. Only it shouldn't be forced upon people, even priests. It should be a choice in your life. Amen? It's a gift from God. It's a free will choice, and it's a calling for those who are gifted. Amen? In that way. So thank you, Paul, for those words that still hold true today. Amen? And thank you, Lord, for sending him. Okay, here we go. Lastly, let us remember, okay, that regardless of our status in life, we should be serving God. We should be serving God with everything we have, knowing that we're being sanctified day by day in everything we do. Amen? We're being sanctified day by day as we await our crown. Amen. All right? As we await our crown, knowing what? That the time is short. Amen. Praise God. God's peace be with you all. Let us pray. Father,